it was good. I'm doing better than Antonio Brown, that's for sure.
Hey, does anybody know if Antonio Brown's Uber picked him up yet?
He's probably still waiting on
it,
man.
It did.
They picked him up. He couldn't get Uber Black, but he got a regular Uber.
The hatchback.
The answer to that coordinator question is Jeff Tedford.
Yep, there you go. Jeff
Tedford. Okay. Jeff Tedford outright said he did not want Jameis Winston in Tampa. He wanted somebody else. So my question is why would you put an offensive coordinator into that position along with a quarterback in that position where he was somewhere where he wasn't wanted by the offensive coordinator? Now, granted,
the days of incompetence for the Bucs.
In most organizations, the offensive coordinator doesn't have a say as to player personnel. That comes from the head coach and the GM.
Yeah, but if you're running the offense, you should at least have some sort of say so in that decision making. Because if you feel that a quarterback is not going to be right for your offense, you can't put a square peg into a round hole. It just doesn't work.
The Bucs have did that for how many years?
Well, that's all your boy Jason Light. we all know that's your best friend.
Oh, I love him. I'm waiting to see him.
Oh, I
know. I'm just waiting to see him to slap the hell out of him.
Nah, bruh. Nah.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna get my right hand. I'm gonna put some B grade honey on my hand. A good amount. And some dollar store baby powder. Not the good stuff. You get the dollar store baby powder. And I am going to not just smack him. The smack is going to turn into a mush. And then it looks like a LaDainian Tomlinson stiff arm at the end of it.
Well, Carlton,
I'm gonna do it three times just to get all the honey off my hand. So it's gonna be three solid slaps.
The third slap is gonna be that bang, you know, like on an old school Batman when you get the bang. Zap.
So,
crack.
Bang.
Serious question, guys.
There's two others that you can probably do that to, and that would be Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan to get them off the Lakers roster.
Bruh, I'm not even paying attention to the Lakers, and I love my Lakers. I ain't even paying attention.
They under 500.
I'm so sick of them.
Well, you should be paying attention to what LeBron's been doing.
Oh, airballing shot.
Hey,
three.
Hey, what am I?
From half court?
Hey, what was that about?
It's actually the opposite. Believe it or not, he's shooting the best percentage from three in his career this season.
Really? Still trash.
Yes.
Still trash. I don't care. Have you ever seen someone who likes two sports organizations? They love and they cannot, like, I want to dismantle these two teams, just like I can't stand them. Even if they win championships, I just want to just crumple them up and set them on fire. That's
me. If you're not a Jason Light fan, you should be despising Rob Pelinka.
I don't like either one of them. They're in the same boat. And Pelinka is actually, he's the motor in the boat. So it's just like, it's just trash, man. And I don't know how they're succeeding. It's maddening because those franchises in the next 2 to 5 years, they're going to be like in the back end of every conference. In the next 2 to 5 years, they're going to be the worst.
The Lakers 100%. Going to be the worst. It'll take a few years after Brady's gone, but for the Lakers, I completely agree. They're on that path of how when LeBron left Cleveland to go to the Lakers, and how just now this season Cleveland is actually the first time they've been good.
Right. It's just the most fraudulent championships I've ever seen.
I'm paying way more attention to LeBron right now because I traded for him in fantasy, and oh my gosh, he is an absolute beast right now. He is putting up very good numbers right now. Now they're not winning enough, but individually he's doing terrific.
Stat monster, gotcha.
I just think that there's a lot of roster problems. What's wrong with the Lakers? That's the biggest part of it.
Mm.
Their only young player, Taylor Horton Tucker, can't hit the broadside of the bar, and he has been really bad lately.
Yikes! Make it stop. Just make it stop. That's all.
So what do you think is gonna happen? What do you think is gonna happen to? What kind of adjustments can the Lakers make to even be in the championship conversation?
Well, they just gotta sustain their record, or just be a little bit above 500. I would think, because everyone's obviously affected by COVID differently. But the Lakers just have some back end players that they just don't do anything, or they are not good enough anymore. One of them is DeAndre Jordan, who, you know, they waived Denzel Valentine, who they traded, you know, they traded for in the Rajon Rondo deal over the weekend, to free up a roster spot. And they also need to waive DeAndre Jordan, get him out of town. He is completely useless out there. I think Dwight Howard still can give you some productive minutes. Like obviously under 20 minutes, he could be somewhat productive, but they haven't had Kendrick Nunn play. Austin Reeves isn't really that good. Ariza isn't very good anymore either. They got to shake a couple things up, is what I would believe, to sustain until Anthony Davis returns. I think Anthony Davis is probably the end of January. Early February, right before the All-Star break, is probably when Anthony Davis is supposed to return from his injury. They got to start making a couple more moves. Rondo's not even close to a tipping point of the problems the Lakers roster has.
Yeah, right, I didn't understand that trade. Rondo is not the problem in LA. If anything, you would rather want a guy like Rondo in your locker room, because he ain't got no problem slapping any one of them, including LeBron. He don't care. You know what I'm saying? So you want somebody that's got at least the you know,
you can't have that, you, bro. You can't have that.
You're right.
You can't have
anybody
challenging
LeBron. Yeah, you're right. What was I thinking?
Well, something that I will say that has been a positive for the Lakers, and it's really strange, but during COVID, with all these 10-day exception hardship, many contracts that a lot of these teams have had to use, actually, the two players they have signed, the Lakers, Stanley Johnson and Darren Collison, have actually played pretty well. Stanley Johnson's playing almost 30 minutes a night right now during this 10-day. And nice. I think part of this deal to waive Denzel Valentine back from the Cavs to make him a free agent is to, I believe, give Stanley Johnson the contract till the end of the year. It seems that way. They're using him as more of a defensive specialist, but he's out there closing games right now for them. And I think that's actually really impressive that he was a failed top 10 pick of the Pistons, couldn't get anything offensively going. And now, he actually has a defined role, and he's been good for the Lakers that needs defense badly, because they got a bunch of guys who are older that are not known as defenders. They're trying to put Avery Bradley out there as a defender, and Carlton Cook, you and I know that Avery Bradley shouldn't even barely be in the league anymore. So when you have a more athletic, younger Stanley Johnson, even though he hasn't been in the league in a couple of years, he's given them a spark defensively. And I think part of waiving Valentine and trading Rondo is to, I believe, to sign him for the rest of the year, or at least they should be smart enough to do that, hopefully.
Right.
Currently the Lakers up by one against Timberwolves, 48-47.
Well, for Carlton's sake, they should win tonight, because the Wolves don't have Towns and Russell due to COVID protocol. So unless Anthony Edwards just completely lights them up tonight, otherwise you got to think that's going to be a Lakers win.
Yeah, it should be.
It should.
There was something that happened in the NBA tonight as well that has never been done. He was the youngest player in NBA history to have a triple-double. That is Josh Giddey for the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight. He had a triple-double, and he beat LaMelo Ball's record for being the youngest player in NBA history to have a triple-double.
Nice.
And for all the people out there that thought when the Oklahoma City Thunder, when they lost by almost 80 points to the Grizzlies, when they said, strip their draft picks and take them out of the league and move them back to Seattle, it's pretty, you're not hearing that very much, as them and the Portland Trail Blazers have about the same record. Have a couple more wins more than other couple other teams in the league. But yet, the Thunder get criticized for tanking and getting stripped of all their, they should be stripped of their draft picks and they should be moved to Seattle. Like, as much as I'd love to see them back in Seattle, that's obviously not the reason why they should be moved. It's always financially. But to those people out there, shout out to them for having zero knowledge of how good some of the Thunder's talent can be.
Yeah, they're 13-23, and they're actually about a half game worse than Portland, who's 13-22, and then the Spurs are 14-21, and then Sacramento is sitting in the 10th spot, with the play-in game. If you get in that 10th spot, then you get a chance to compete in the play-in game. Not saying that, OKC is going to do anything, but if they manage to win enough games to get in that, play-in game, that's a big plus for them.
I think so, because they own the Clippers' unprotected pick, and right now Paul George is not playing for the next few weeks due to injury. That he just got off of an injury and then got re-injured. So the Clippers are not looking good this year, and obviously Kawhi Leonard hasn't played and probably won't play until possibly the end of the season, depending on the Clippers' record, is what I would say. But the more games Paul George misses, the more chances that the Thunder can get a pretty decent lottery pick out of that. Now, this is not the year that you probably want it, but, you know, you can't, beggars can't be choosers, I would say. Unless they got a Paolo Banchero, then it would be more than worth it. And it can show you that trading for superstars always, you know, there's a price for it. The Clippers are seeing right. that price right now.
Let me ask you a question, because I've been in a debate with a diehard LeBron James fanboy, and this dude spends every minute of his energy posting about LeBron James and why he's the best player we've ever seen play basketball and why he's better than Michael Jordan.
He says
that before Phil Jackson became the head coach of the Bulls, that the Bulls were a lottery team. Now, in your eyes, my personal eyes, I mean, they all do the lottery. If you don't make the playoffs, every team goes into the lottery to decide, you know, where you gonna pick from. But to me,
yeah, that's correct.
A lottery team is a team that's got one of the worst records in the league in the top five. To me, the top five picks in the NBA is the lottery. If you finish, you know, a game out of a playoff spot, odds are you don't have a chance for the lottery pick. Because it's a matter of percentages, you know what I'm saying? So,
it's happened in the draft era, but it's very rare.
Yeah,
like when Yao Ming got picked, the Rockets weren't like the worst team in the league.
No,
for example.
No, and you know he's saying LeBron, listen. You can't really argue with LeBron James fans because they always want to go to the stat book and say, well, he scored more points, he's got more assists, he's got more rebounds, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, dude is 6'8". He's played longer. Dude is 6'8", 270. And the rules are made for him to dominate. But –
Now, right. Also, LeBron he's had some injuries, but he hasn't had major injuries that's cost him the whole season.
No.
He hasn't had, you know, injuries that cost him 3-4 months, and then he only plays the beginning of the year, and then some in the back end of the year. Like, his injuries, you know, yeah, they're happening recently, and, you know, I think last year he missed like a month or two. I mean, it's somewhere around there, and this year he missed like a couple weeks towards the beginning of the season, but at the end of the day, a lot of his injuries haven't been significant enough to where it's going to affect his career down the road. So that helps. I think that helps his numbers too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, when you know, what he's year 19 and, you know, he's still a dominant basketball player, but dude, like I told him, I'm old enough to where, I watched the majority of Jordan's career. He was drafted in 83. I started watching basketball, I want to say, maybe 86, 87. I watched his whole career. I've watched Kobe Bryant's whole career. I've watched LeBron James' full career. My eye test won't even allow me to say LeBron James is better than Kobe. Jordan. Forget the numbers. Forget the numbers, because the numbers is just longevity. And like I said, Michael Jordan was 6'8", what, at 215? Something like that? 215, 220, maybe?
Jordan was 6'6".
230. 230, was that his size? Okay, so LeBron is
6'6", like 220.
Okay, so LeBron is 6'7", and he's 275, probably a little heavier, give or take, for a few pounds. Shouldn't he have more rebounds? He's a small forward.
Right.
You know, now his passing, Jordan wasn't asked to pass. Jordan wasn't asked to pass. But you can't – I've watched enough Jordan tape. Jordan was not a terrible passer. When he was told, hey, you got to get assists. I seen Jordan make some of the prettiest passes that a shooting guard would ever make.
True.
Attacking the basket, he ain't better than Jordan attacking the basket. He ain't better than Jordan shooting the mid-range jumper. He didn't have a fadeaway. He didn't have a post game.
I would tell his homeboy, listen, before you go to the upper echelon players like Kobe, Magic, and Jordan, start first with Scottie Pippen. If he can't handle Scottie Pippen, you don't even need to talking about LeBron. And I know Scottie Pippen would eat him up on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, we know this.
Especially in the playoff series. I mean, look at what Kawhi Leonard did when he was on the Spurs.
Oh, he killed them. He killed them.
There's actually a video where LeBron was at the free throw line and Kawhi Leonard was checking back in during that series, and he was looking at him going, damn, that guy's back in.
No,
like you can read his lips. Like, and also that other guy with his point about Jordan was on lottery teams in his first years. Earth to that guy, LeBron didn't make the playoffs until what, year four of his career?
Yeah,
I believe it was something like that. And I don't think he even got out of the first round in his first playoff series. You would have to research, of course, but. He didn't go to the playoffs right away. I mean, they were not very good for his first couple seasons.
Yeah,
Same thing applies between if Jordan was just a scoring machine, that was it, essentially in the first part of his career. Well, you know, the documentary told you that he was hanging out with his teammates were a bunch of cocaine addicts.
Yeah.
So, You're not gonna be good. LeBron's trying to go with like Eric Snow like as his best point guard. It happens when your teams when you get drafted are really bad because they're really bad for a reason.
Yeah,
Jordan Zalgauskas was like his probably like, I don't know who he's talking about before with Derek, but like Jordan Zalgauskas was probably his best player for the first couple of years he was with Cleveland.
Yeah,
that he had with
him. Yeah,
and you know, yeah. Big D and Scottie Pippen are obviously a whole world away, a difference in their talented ability of like why they were in the NBA. So you can't LeBron's going to get everything individually, and he's going to get all the All Stars, going to get all the NBAs. He's going to get close to an MVP. Just all of those counting stats, LeBron's going to just destroy everyone because. At the end of the day, he's still going to play another 4-3 seasons.
Yeah,
he's
trying to play with his son.
Gets into the league, then he might slow down a lot more. But right now, New Year's. I watched most of the first half of the game versus Portland on New Year's Eve, and it was a cakewalk for LeBron to play. Like he was just getting to the bucket at will. He was hitting open threes. He was making passes to his teammates. Like,
well, you know, like,
obviously Portland's a complete joke this year.
They don't play defense anymore in the NBA. So,
yeah, it's a totally different game. Yes, I agree with that. So you're going to get inflated stats, but LeBron having so much longevity is going to help him quite a bit over time. And I don't think LeBron's climb to the Eastern Conference was as hard as obviously the documentary talked about with Jordan's climb to the Eastern Conference. Yeah, it was much harder for
you
Jordan
go
to
through,
get through the Eastern
Detroit.
Conference.
You had to go through the Boston Celtics, and
he almost died.
Dude,
he had to go and
lift weights and get stronger and get bigger, because that's just, you know, he didn't cry to the officials and say, hey, you know, I'm being fouled, or if somebody touch him, he ain't laying on the ground for 10 minutes. And when you watch the replay, dude, nobody even touched him. He trying to sell a foul that he got hurt, and in the video replay, dude, you didn't even get touched. You grabbing your face, and the dude hit you in the chest.
He hit his back of the basket. And he rolled and got a layup and didn't get a call. But actually, in the middle of him shooting, he clapped his own hand as if he got fouled and still made the shot. And then was looking at the ref for a call when he actually clapped his hands together when he released the ball. It was really strange.
He thought he got fouled. He hit himself and thought he was fouled.
Yeah, he hit himself back to the basket, you know, post move. It was a really weird play.
Or maybe what was he, home or away?
Home.
Okay, so maybe they had the clap system set up in the arena. He clapped his hands. He clapped his hands for the lights to go out, and then, you know, when the lights come back on, he's sitting up in the rafters like he was Sting on WCW or something.
But to also answer your question of how to fix the Lakers, you know, there's reports out there talking about how the Lakers should go after Ben Simmons. But at the end of the day, unless you're trading Westbrook, you don't really have a whole lot to really grab a player of Ben Simmons' capability for LeBron there. So that would be like the only way is if you're trading Westbrook. And I think the jury's out to see still if that's a good mix or not. You know, some people say it's not. And,
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's too bad. It's not going to win you a title, but, you know, a struggling Lakers team to make the playoffs and to maybe make some noise in the playoffs, then, yeah. I think that's a good possibility, but to win a title, it's not realistic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, for the most part, I feel like my buddy he's not gonna buy the argument.
Tell him. Not even Scotty. Try to balance out Dennis Rodman. If he can be better than Dennis Rodman, if he's a better player than Dennis Rodman, I'll give you all the praise, bro. Dennis Rodman, he terrified everyone. I don't know a player who was able to deal with Dennis Rodman. Jordan wasn't able to deal with Rodman.
We saw the Last Dance, man. Rodman was disappearing for days. They didn't even know where this man was at.
He was in North Korea.
Yeah.
I'll say this about Dennis Rodman. If you can get into the head of Karl Malone, you did your job.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. He definitely did that.
And he did. He completely psyched out Karl Malone. He got into the head of him. He defended Karl Malone a lot in those final series. And, yeah, Malone put up good numbers here and there, but he was also just the guy that got the ball all the time and was involved in almost every pick and roll play. So, yeah, he's going to get numbers. Yeah. But at the end of the day, Dennis Rodman did his job so well against Malone that Jordan didn't have to he could be on a lesser offensive player, like a Hornacek or a Byron Russell type guy, and not have to worry about Malone every possession. Or Scottie Pippen could have gone over there. I mean, that's why those teams were so versatile defensively.
He pushed off.
Yeah, I keep hearing that argument. Oh, well, he pushed Byron Russell, man. Byron Russell was already gone. He was already gone. Yeah, he just guided him. He just gave him a little bit of a guide. Said, "Oh, you already going this way, so let me give you a pat on the butt." A pat on the butt for at least trying to guard me. You know, I mean, that's all it was.
It's like a participation trophy type thing.
Yeah. Hey, good job, young guard. Good job, young buck. But this game is over. Yeah, man. But yeah, so DeMar DeRozan, man, he's channeling his inner Michael Jordan the last couple games.
Yeah, he's really carrying the Bulls right now. They don't have Lonzo Ball, but they still have Vucevic, and they still got some pretty decent depth playing too. So yeah, the Bulls are looking pretty good. DeMar DeRozan's on fire. He's not really known as a three-point shot in these last two games. He has certainly hit them when they counted. I think this Bulls team's good. And there's a player on the Bulls that's been starting recently that actually has really good defensive ability in today's game, and his name is Javonte Green. Javonte Green has been a really good perimeter defender. Where I don't think DeRozan is necessarily known for that, and also Vucevic is not known for that as well. But to have, like, when Alex Caruso comes back, to have a Javonte Green and a Caruso who actually can be good perimeter defenders is going to be pretty huge for this Bulls team once they're back to full strength. And not to mention that Lonzo Ball has a lot of those defensive capabilities as well. So I don't think it's a shock that the Bulls are at the top of the Eastern Conference. Now, going into the season, we talked about it a lot, about how we thought the Bulls were maybe the fourth best team in the East going into the season, maybe the fifth, depending. But I guess we underestimated how much of a disaster this Ben Simmons thing is for the Sixers. And I think the Bucks have been really banged up. They got hit by COVID pretty good, of course, and they lost Middleton for a few weeks earlier in the season too. So, the Nets have, of course, their Kyrie disastrous thing going on. But I think the Nets are starting to right the ship here, and they're getting a little bit better. It's surprising how good LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing, and it's not surprising how much Paul Millsap has fell off the map in the NBA. I think that guy's pretty close to being out of the league in the next two, within the next 2 years. But I don't think it's much of a surprise that the Bulls are this good. I felt like it was going to work with those three top guys, and only with two of them playing right now, they're playing good ball. They got a good enough coach. They don't have, these last two coaches have been just nut jobs. They actually have a legitimate coach.
Who is the Bulls coach?
Billy Donovan.
Really?
Billy Donovan's their head coach. Now, he's in protocol, so he's not coaching exactly right now, but he is their head coach, though.
So. Oh, I didn't even realize that. I didn't realize that Donovan was over there. The last coach I remember was Fred Hoiberg. How long ago was that?
Probably a good 3 years ago.
Okay, so Billy Donovan, has he been over there since then?
No, they had Jim Boylan, and Jim Boylan was Tom Thibodeau recreated in Chicago. That's the type of coach Jim Boylan was. Zach LaVine hated Jim Boylan. Just absolutely hated that guy. He's a clone of Thibodeau. He's exactly that type of a coach. Shout out to the Knicks who lost by 15 today to the Raptors. Shout out to Knicks.
Shout out to the Knicks.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to get out of there, man. I'm going to get out of here.
All right,
see y'all next time.
All right, brother. Left field correspondent. Left field correspondent out. He pulled the Mamba card. Mamba out. But I appreciate him calling in, though, man. Normally we don't get him in on Sundays, but it was good to get him in and, you know, get his opinion on stuff. It's always good to hear left field correspondent. But, yeah, so your favorite guy, Mr. Ramrod, 17
like,
to 20.
I like that you've gotten used to the name to where now you're starting to use it now.
Oh, man.
I appreciate it.
It is an excellent name, Ramrod. That's an excellent name. And it's just one of them catchy names that, well, you can't help but support it, man. I'm a Bulls fan, so I didn't realize the impact of his coaching style until you started bringing it up. But now that since you brought it up, I started to see, you know, what you're talking about with his coaching style, how it run down players, and I gotta agree with you on his style. So I'm gonna go with Ramrod.
Well, like I said about Jim Boylan before Billy Donovan, is that, you know, like Zach LaVine just couldn't stand the guy. It's just he's a Greg Schiano of the NFL. Like when Greg Schiano was the coach of the Bucks, how the players hated him.
Yep.
How they would run wind sprints like an hour before the game or some craziness like that. Like it just doesn't work. It works to discipline 18, 19, and 20-year-olds. I agree in college football, but it doesn't work in college basketball. It doesn't work in the NBA, and it doesn't work in the NFL. Now Thibodeau has had a successful coaching career, one of the few to do it that way, but he's never won a championship. He's never been to the finals. He coached, I think he was the assistant when the Celtics won their last title.
Yeah.
I believe that's where he kind of got, you know, the name to be a head coach, but he has never led a team to anything really, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, for the Bulls one time, maybe twice. I think it was once that I want to say once, but it just doesn't work. And at some point, these Knicks players are going to obviously shut down and not want to play for him either, because those starters are just just getting absolutely killed. Their game before this against the Pistons, the starters were getting their plus minus were like on average almost 30 plus minus, and then the bench, who ended up winning the game for them, they had a plus minus of over 30. A lot of those players did. So there's something going on with these starters and how his message resonates to how these guys don't want to play this certain way. I mean, Julius Randle's having a terrible season in comparison to his season last year. He was a second team All-NBA. Now he's not even going to be an All-Star, I don't think, this year. So I just think that his message, it might work to like get them in shape or get them to try to think better, you know, think differently and play better. But then year after year, it just gets worse, because I don't think the players want to do it anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one thing that I for one never realized, you know, all the coaches that I ever had wasn't that way. So, you know, the way that is, you know, short-term wise is good, but it puts so much strain and stress on the bodies of the players and stuff like that, that, you know, you run them down into the ground, and then
you know, you pretty much, you know, put yourselves in position for injuries and all of that. Just, and you saw that a lot with the Bulls. A lot of their best, you know, best guys were always was always injured because, you know, you just run them in, you just run them into the ground. And, you know, similar.
But you see this Bulls team now and how they're at the top of the Eastern Conference and how they're not getting played like this. They don't play like this. They are fun, exciting. They're up and down. They have the personnel to where they're not a grinded out post team. Vucevic is not a grinded out post type player. Maybe DeRozan could be more of an isolation player. I think that's true, but he also is a good passer, and I don't think he's a selfish player. I don't think he's out there to only get his.
No,
he had those days in Toronto before they became so good in Toronto. He already had those kind of isolation, you know, me and Kyle Lowry score and everybody else watches type seasons. Now in Chicago, I don't think he needs to do that because I think they have players on the wing that are cutting to the basket, that are moving without the ball. And DeRozan, we talked about it while he was on the Spurs about how good of a playmaker Popovich made him into. And I think that's not talked about enough about how good DeRozan is off the dribble finding open players. And once Caruso gets back and once Lonzo gets back, you know, this Bulls team is averaging 108-ish points a game, I believe. So that's pretty good for offense. And obviously other nights you're going to score more. And I think this Bulls team is really good. I don't think this is a fluke at all.
No, I don't think so either. You know, they have all the pieces in place to be really good, and right now they're sitting on, you know, top of the Eastern Conference. So, you know, they're definitely, even though a lot of people didn't, you got to start talking about them in the conversation as a possible finals appearance because when you look at their team from top to bottom, especially with their starting five when they're healthy, they can compare it to anybody's starting five in the East. And, you know, they're that's a good team.
I do think if they were in a playoff series with the Nets, they would have a really hard time guarding Durant. Now, almost any team would have a hard time guarding Durant, but their best defenders are not Durant size. So I think they will have a major problem. I mean, I think they could do, you know, pretty good on James Harden, but I don't see the Bulls stopping Durant at all. I think they would have a really hard time dealing with that. But when it comes to, you know, the Bulls have a pretty good front court. They have good guards. I think they have good enough coaching. I mean, it's not like perfect or anything, but I think it's definitely above average. I think I would put Billy Donovan in like the Michael Malone area of coaches in the league.
Yeah,
I would say he's about there. He's better than Tyronn Lue. He's better than, you know, Chauncey Billups and maybe Nate McMillan, maybe not. Better than Steve Nash. Steve Nash is obviously has the personality has, but I like Billy Donovan. I'd put him kind of in the middle, you know, coaching ability. But I think his talent is terrific, and this Bulls team's really good.
Agree with you, man. One last question here, and this is going to go out to the Western Conference. We know Golden State and Phoenix are – the class of the conference right now, but there's a team or two that people are not talking about that could give some problems down the road, and one of those teams is the Utah Jazz, and then Another team that has come out of nowhere is the Memphis Grizzlies. What do you think about those two teams?
The Memphis Grizzlies. I think Utah they are who we thought they are, as Dennis Green famously said. I think Utah, Donovan Mitchell, Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, they got a pretty decent starter, Royce O'Neal, and of course they got Mike Conley, who, yeah, he's a really important part, and they had to do some sacrifices on the back end of the roster, like obviously trading Derek Favors for basically nothing and give a first round pick to get off of Derek Favors in order to sign Mike Conley. I think the Jazz are really good outside of Jordan Clarkson as maybe probably and Joe Ingles as like their seventh best guy. I think the Jazz don't have a lot behind them. Now the Grizzlies, that is a team that has drafted very well, developed even better, and we see the result of how they don't have as much salary. Yeah, they have Steven Adams, but they were able to trade up in order to take on Steven Adams' money. So they have worked some trades. They have developed players, De'Anthony Melton, Desmond Bain, who is an absolute stud. If no one really pays attention to the Memphis Grizzlies, watch Desmond Bane play. You will be very happy. This guy's built like a tank. He can hit the three extremely well, and he gets pretty good steals for a guard. He can ball handle. He's built really well. He's only a second year player out of TCU. Desmond Bane is worth, I believe, a price of admission to go watch him play. I really like Desmond Bane, and the Grizzlies have a stud in him for sure. John Morant, maybe a little overrated. Yes, his season is good, but I don't think he carries the team. Yeah, he hit a game winner. I'm just going to say that I think John Morant is really good. Yes, he's the best player on the team. He's better than Jaren Jackson Jr., and yes, he's better than Desmond Bane. But I believe John Morant is not a guy that he can carry you through a playoff series yet. He hasn't proven it. He hasn't gotten there yet. But I think this is the year the Grizzlies will make the playoffs with John Morant. It's just, to me, time has to tell whether Morant can carry you or not. I think he needs a second guy better than Jaren Jackson Jr. to get you to that next level. But I don't think him by himself does.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you on that. Because of the talent that they've, you know, accrued and how guys are stepping up and playing basketball for Memphis, you know, he doesn't have to do as much carrying, because a team that has five guys that averages double figures and then another two that averages 8 points and then two more that averages, you know, 7 points per game. And those guys that I just ran off, every single last one of them outside of Brooks, who's just now coming on, and Clark, who comes off of the bench, they've all played at least 30 games. So this is more than a sample size to, you know, for these guys, and this is just, you know, the type of players that they have. So they're getting scoring from everywhere, and when you got a team that's giving you that type of scoring from all those different players, that's a team that is always going to be tough to beat, because you can't just focus on one guy. Let's one or two guys. So let's just look at the Portland Trail Blazers, for example. You know, if you could, you know, keep Lillard quiet, then you got a good chance of beating Portland, because if Lillard can't give them the production that we know we're used to seeing. Portland's not winning. They don't have anything else. Well, with Memphis, maybe Ja is having a bad game. You got at least six or seven other guys that can step up and fill that void from a scoring standpoint. So this Grizzlies team is they're young. And the more games they play, the more experience they get, and the better they're going to get. So what we see today from Memphis might not be the team that we see come April. They could be even better in April than they are right now. And I think for that, facing a team like that in the playoffs, you know, can cause for them to give somebody a headache. You know,
like to me, I think they can beat most of the teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
on any given night in the regular season. Now, Dylan Brooks is out on protocols; he'll be back pretty soon. Brandon Clark, I don't think he's not playing a lot. He's not that good. I think Xavier Tillman has been a lot better for them compared to Brandon Clark. So there's a reason why I believe that Brandon Clark doesn't play. Now, I think they have decent size. I think they have good shooting. They play nice defense, and they have a good bench. And Kyle Anderson comes off the bench. And I think in a playoff series, Kyle Anderson can give you a lot.
Yeah.
I believe their backup point guard, De'Anthony Melton, is a absolute stud in the making, I think. But Desmond Bane, to me, is clearly their gem that nobody knows how good he is. And he has been playing really well this season. It's the difference between the Grizzlies and the Blazers definitely is like if John Morant has a bad night, they can still win. Where Lillard and McCollum has a bad night, the Blazers are going to get absolutely road killed.
Yeah.
So, and it proved while Morant was out for 12 games, the Grizzlies were 10-2.
Yep.
Nobody expected that.
Yep.
They were 10-2, and all of a sudden, Desmond Bane was ball handling more. Kyle Anderson was ball handling more. De'Anthony Melton was getting all these minutes while John Morant was out. And this is not a system to where it's one guy gets the ball and one guy gets all the stats. It's like you said, there's a lot of guys out there that averages, you know, double figures and 8 to 10 points a game. Well, I think only Dylan Brooks is the only guy on that roster that kind of tries to go out and find his own shots more than other players. But at the same time, you're going to need at least one guy that's going to go out there and try to find a shot, because otherwise you're just going to try to pass the ball to an open guy, and it might not be the right one, and you're trying to still search for that shot, where at least Dylan Brooks can get you his own shot on some possessions that you might need it. So there's nothing wrong with that. The regular season numbers, it's kind of skewed, but to put him in the playoff series, I mean, you want a guy like Dylan Brooks on your roster for sure, because he plays a role that he needs to play.
It's just
not good enough to pair as a, you know, Jaren Jackson and Dylan Brooks are just not good enough to pair as a star next to him. But if you play it with Ja Morant and the collective number of talent, then yes, it works completely well, and that's where we're seeing how the success of the Memphis Grizzlies so far.
Yeah, man. You know, we're getting, you know, to close to the All-Star break, second half of the season. You know, teams start to, you know, separate themselves and you know, show what they really are down the stretch. So this second half of the season is going to be interesting, and not just in the Western Conference, but the East as well. And I think it's going to set itself up for a very interesting, you know, second half of the season. But, brother, as always, man, appreciate you calling in. I know you was a little determined to get back on the air after Wednesday night. Bruh, I didn't even know what was happening until like a little bit later on, and then I was talking and I heard a sound and I was like, what is that? And I looked at, I asked William, I was like, William, you hear that? And he was like, Yeah, man, I was just going to ask you what that noise was, and I was like, shoot, I thought it was William. So, hey, we all had those moments, bro. William, Boss Hawk, they had to cover for me on nights where I was freaking, on fumes. So, hey, there ain't no thing here, man. They all happen. Hey, we all cover for each other. So, but it was good to get you on tonight, talk some NBA, and, anytime, bro. I don't even know why you even asked us. Nicholas is so nice. He asked us if he could come on the air. This dude has been a part of the Rat Pack doing his own segment for like 4 years. And he asked us, can I come on? Yeah, man, brother, just call in, man. But
I don't want to interrupt the time slot, and I don't want to interrupt, other people being able to have their time, yeah, too. So I always want to at least say, okay, if I know I'm going to be able to come on, then all right, I'll call around this time.
Yeah.
And that's why I usually do that, because I just don't want to just say, surprise, mother, like, I'm here. And so that's the biggest reason why. Obviously, William and Sean, and Carlton, they obviously need their time too. I'm not going to just come on and blabber on about how good the Grizzlies are for 45 minutes while William just sits there and stares at walls. So
yeah,
I would rather at least know that, hey, this is a good time to call in. And I at least want to make sure that it's all right. I mean, I know I can come on. I mean, I am the creator of the Anthony Bennett All-Star. The
exactly.
That I should come on. I want. But, there's obviously other people on the show, too.
Yeah.
So I always want to make sure that they get their time.
All right, man. No problem, brother. Hey, we got you. I was just messing with you. But as always, man, appreciate you calling in, brother. And we will catch you next time, man. Rat Pack Sports Show, NBA Insider, Nicholas Lane, a.k.a. Nicky Buckets. Appreciate you, brother.
Catch you later.
All right. If y'all don't know, you know now. That was Nicky Buckets on the line. So